Welcome, friends. Nicole Olstead here with Sharon Gamble on the Sweet Sela Moments podcast. We are so pleased you found us. Sharon and I pray that these episodes encourage you to learn alongside us how to be still and get to know the God who loves you fiercely. In this season, we are studying the stories of Jesus and his encounters with women. Today in episode 155, called Courageous Faith, we are talking about the woman with the issue of blood. This is such a great story, Sharon. Can you get us started with where in the Bible do we find her story?
Well, what's interesting to me is we find it in three different places. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all thought this unknown woman was important enough to be included in their accounts. So we're actually going to read all three today, too, because even though it's sort of the same story, you know how if you hear eyewitness accounts, different people add different details. Yeah. That's kind of what we get here. We get little tweaky details that'll help us understand and unpack it better.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah. That'll be good.
So I'm going to read Mark, and then if you could read Matthew, and I will read Luke. And the Mark passage is Mark 5, 24 to 34. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. And side note, next week, we're actually going to talk about the hymn that Jesus went with.
Oh.
So, but our story really picks up in verse 25. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she'd been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out of him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over."
Well, I'll read the portion about her in Matthew chapter 9, 19 through 22. So Jesus and his disciples got up and went with him. Just then, a woman who had been suffering for 12 years with constant bleeding came up behind him. She touched the fringe of his robe, for she thought, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be encouraged. Your faith has made you well." And the woman was healed at that moment.
And Luke 8, 42b through 48. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Mm-hmm. Isn't that fun, the details? We've got hem of the robe. We've got fringe of the robe. Mm-hmm. We've got be encouraged in one.
Right.
I kind of liked reading all of them just to get the nuances.
Yeah,
you know?
Like a bigger picture of what happened.
Yeah. So we're going to start, like we always do, with the woman. Mm-hmm. So what do you learn about the woman and her story, Nicole, from this account? Tell me.
I was struck with her courage, because she's considered unclean and she pushed through a huge crowd. And I think back then, to be unclean, people didn't want you close to them touching them. So she could have faced ridicule and possibly, I don't know if there was any consequences to that for going to a large crowd of people like that. But she was so determined. She heard and she just thought, this is the one that can finally heal me.
Yes.
Because she's been struggling with this for years and years. I think she was just at her end. But I was just struck by her courage to go through out there and put herself out there.
Yeah. And I also saw an optimism that's amazing. When you think, she must have been rich, first of all. I kept thinking, she went to see many doctors and she used up all her money. If she was poor, she wouldn't have had all her money to use up. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
A poor person would just be feeding themselves, right?
Right.
So she pays for doctor after doctor after doctor. She watches her income just disappear. Mm. Doesn't say she's married, so I don't know if she was like the only daughter or... Right. I mean, there's so much we don't know that I wish we knew.
We don't even know her name.
No, we don't even know her name, but God does.
Yeah.
So anyways, but she still kept trying. Mm. So she was courageous and she was also... resilient, I guess, to keep trying.
Right.
And now here's Jesus, and she's going to try with Jesus.
Right. Give him a try. Well, I guess she's gotten to the end of her own resources and her own ability to try.
That's
she's used up all her money.
That's a good point. Yeah. Well, I want to read from Leviticus because this goes into detail about why it took such bravery, what you emphasized, for her to even do this. And this is from... Hold on, I got to find my place again. Leviticus 15:19-33. There is, it's so weird that they want to talk about menstruation in the Bible. But we've got a long section on it.
Here it is.
Here we are. So I'm going to read it. Let me move my Bible so that I stay by the microphone. Okay. Whenever a woman has her menstrual period, she will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. Anyone who touches her during that time will be unclean until evening. Oh, wow. Now, unclean means there's a lot of things you can't do. You certainly can't go to the temple. Mm-hmm. You can't be anywhere holy, right? And then you have to do this ritual bathing, which is time-consuming.
Right.
It's not like they had bathtubs, right?
Right, right, right.
It's a little different back then. So it's a pain in the neck to bathe.
It's a process.
But you touch her, that's it. You're unclean till evening. Then you have to bathe and make yourself clean again. All right. Anyways, moving on to verse 20. Anything on which the woman lies or sits during the time of her period will be unclean. That means no one can even go near where she sat.
Oh.
Okay, so now we're getting isolated here.
Yeah.
If any of you touch her bed, you must wash your clothes and bathe yourself in water, and you will remain unclean until evening. If you touch any object she has sat on, you must wash your clothes and bathe yourself in water, and you will remain unclean until evening. This includes her bed or any other object she has sat on. You will be unclean until evening if you touch it. Mm. So we're repeating ourselves here because it's a big deal, evidently.
Right.
If a man has sexual intercourse with her and her blood touches him, her menstrual impurity will be transmitted to him.
Wow.
He will remain unclean for 7 days.
Oh, wow.
And any bed on which he lies will be unclean. If a woman has a flow of blood for many days that is unrelated to her menstrual period, or if the blood continues beyond the normal period, she is ceremonially unclean.
Oh,
I'll stop there. There's actually more.
Oh my goodness, that's very detailed.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow, and it's more than just, you read it, it's not just menstrual. So if it goes beyond that, which this woman's clearly did for 12 years of nonstop bleeding.
Yes.
She was unclean that whole time.
Yes.
Even if she washed and did all the things, she was continually unclean.
She was. So no going to the temple, the place where God was, because God did not indwell with human beings until after Jesus' resurrection when the Holy Spirit came.
Right.
She's cut off in a lot of ways from the presence of God, and who can be around her or even her stuff?
That's so isolating and lonely. You kind of feel like you have this stigma around you, especially I think if that was part of the culture back then and you all took your turns, it's like, okay, you're unclean for a week and you do your thing. But to be continually in that state, that must have been heartbreaking.
I know.
Yeah.
So much. And this is why it took courageous faith to actually go into a crowd.
Mm.
Everyone that brushes against her technically.
Wow.
Is unclean.
Just like spreading.
Right.
It reminds me of little kids in cooties.
Yes.
Ew, he touched me, I have cooties.
Yeah.
And everyone reacts that way.
Yeah.
You know, I just wonder if she kind of thought that was how walking into the crowd, everyone just kind of parts away from her because
I know
it's her.
Yeah. I don't know that many knew her because I think they wouldn't have let her near him.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah.
And it's interesting to me that she honored Jesus by making sure she only touched that little hem, the fringe.
Yes.
She didn't touch him. So she just touched his clothing, hoping maybe that wouldn't be too bad. You know, to feel that much of a pariah to society would be just so hard. Mm. So there's a desperation in her. Mm-hmm. She is going to try that last thing. She's going to be resilient. She's going to try it. Mm. So I just think it's beautiful, that courage.
Yeah.
But actually the last thing she probably wanted was for Jesus to single her out.
She's probably trying to sneak in and be stealthy because she started to tremble and fall to her knees in this last passage. She was very nervous.
Well, this is not a topic one talks about.
Well, I was wondering how known it was that you were unclean for 7 days. Like, was it just kind of something that just happened and you kind of like secluded yourself away during that time? Or was it very known, like, ooh, don't touch Susie this week. She's, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I wonder how spoken of it was. So did people know she suffered? Or did she hide herself away?
Yeah, they must have known.
Yeah.
Probably. And I would assume you'd have to tell people. And it would become, you know, it's her time. She's unclean this week.
Right.
You know, they probably didn't talk about blood, but, you know, the unclean part, I guess. I don't know. It's fascinating.
Because you'd have to tell people, I'm assuming, if you were unclean.
Well,
you're causing them to be unclean.
Right. You've got to. Don't touch me.
That's heavy to carry for so many years.
It is so heavy.
That's a lot. Oh, that poor woman.
So this is our woman. She's a plucky woman. Mm-hmm. She's also lost all her wealth.
Yeah.
So now who's taking care of her? I don't know. Maybe her parents are still around. I don't know. Okay. Nicole, there's so many people I want to talk to in heaven.
I know.
Can we have just lunch with or whatever?
My youngest asked me that this morning. She's like, Mama, what's the first thing you're going to do when you get to heaven? And then what's the second thing? And then who are you going to talk to? And I was prepping for the day. And I was like, oh, that's a great question. I'm like, I'm going to have to sit with that for a minute. So I'm going to just give Jesus the biggest hug. And then there's probably like 40 people I want to interview, like one after
another. Yes, exactly. I wonder if there are podcasts in heaven.
Right. Just go sit in the library
Nicole
and listen to
them. Sharon talk to.
That would be really fun.
That's so fun. But anyways, bless her heart. So, okay, so that's her story. Mm. That's her story.
Yeah.
And that's her pluck. Now, let's talk about Jesus. Mm. What do you learn about Jesus from this encounter?
I love that he's never too busy to be interrupted by us.
Isn't that cool?
He was on his way with a hymn with somebody. He had a very purposeful mission and direction, and he stopped. He could have easily have ignored so many people touching him. He didn't even have to stop to acknowledge her.
Right.
She was healed. It was fine. Off she went. But the fact that he saw her despite the crowd just shows his compassion.
Yes.
And I think a deeper wanting to not just heal us from the things we want to be healed with, because physical ailments and discomfort feel like the end of the world, especially to me, but to us humans, we want to be out of discomfort.
Right.
So God, just heal me of this affliction. But for him to turn and see her and make sure that she saw he cared about her as a person, her heart, and tell her, it's your faith that made you well. Your faith is the thing I care about.
Yes.
Not just the body. So that was really just amazing to see how he's a complete healer.
You know what? What a good way to say it. Not just, okay, power went out of me. Cool. You
right.
Know?
Oh, good. She's at it.
Yeah.
She's good. Better. That's fine.
She's good. Yeah. But how's her heart?
Mm.
How's her mind? I also wonder if the public nature of it, if she was known for being unclean, she said in front of everyone, I'm done bleeding, basically. Mm. I don't know how she phrased it, but.
How does one announce that?
Yeah. I'm healed. And he confirmed it.
Oh, wow.
Right? So there was a very, it's got to have been public in the sense it gone on so long.
Right.
People would know.
Yeah.
She's always unclean, you know, kind of thing. I don't know how many of the crowd knew, but anyways, publicly, she's sort of affirmed.
Right.
Which is great.
Oh, I didn't think of that. That's
Isn't that
so
nice.
Nice?
Yeah. And I also love that he said daughter.
Mm.
Because there probably hadn't been much intimacy in her life for 10 years, whatever, 11 years, whatever it was. And so he doesn't just say you. Mm-hmm. He calls her daughter. And that is just such a beautiful term. That's how much he cared about her. So I also think it's fascinating that he knew power had left him.
That is an interesting phrase. Yeah. I was thinking about that.
Yeah, because he's God.
Yeah.
In flesh. So although God out of flesh knows all things at all time,
right,
Jesus didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself to become a servant and become a human.
Right.
Philippians 2 something something.
Right.
I've memorized verses way better than I've memorized where
the
passages, they are.
Passages. The numbers. The numbers do not stick in my head. I'm like, it's somewhere.
Yeah. But anyways, so he did empty himself of some things. And in this case, he asked. Now, did he know exactly who she was? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know how much he knew.
Right.
But he did know power went out of him. So he's living with the Holy Spirit fully in him, because that's Trinity, right? And the power of the Holy Spirit is what swept into her body, and whatever was broken that no doctor could find,
that's
just
amazing.
Like that,
is
fixed, which is also stunning to me.
Wow.
And I like that he loved her daughter and he commended her for her faith.
Mm.
So he just affirmed her in such beautiful ways.
He did.
I love Jesus.
He is such a kind. And then to go in peace. Go in peace, he said. Because I bet her life had not been very peaceful if you're consumed with this constant ailment and the constant stigma of society. Like, that's going to be a lot to deal with. So
it really will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, well, let's move on to us. What am I learning from this story? And the thing that I really learned was I can talk to God about embarrassing things. There's literally nothing that I can't say to God. And you know, Nicole, you get this formal view of God sometimes, especially as a child, when you should kneel before him. He is your master. He is your Lord. But he's also calls himself friend.
Mm.
And if you read the psalmists are pretty blunt about what they think too, you know. So it's just kind of reassuring that I can go to him in embarrassment too.
Yeah.
Like, oh Lord, I can't believe I said that stupid thing to so-and-so. I don't even know how to make it right. Lord, do I have to go back and say I'm sorry?
Right.
I can pray like that too.
Yeah.
You know, and I was thinking there are really two distinct types of prayers. There's my morning prayer in my quiet time where I have my little lists and I love it. I love every day praying for different people and praying scripture for them and all the things.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also just shoot an arrow right up to heaven right now because help me, kind of prayers, right?
Thank goodness we have those too.
Oh, my goodness. I can, you know, remember conversations with people that will remain completely nameless where I was getting just a little bit bored because they were telling me the same thing for the, 17th time. And praying while they're telling me, Lord, help me to focus.
Mm.
The fact that they're repeating it means that it's still sticking in them somehow.
Mm.
Give me a heart to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I would need that, or I wouldn't be able to do it. Or with Dad Gamble, when something would go wrong and something that should have taken 5 minutes was now going to take half an hour, right? And with a young mom, the same thing. You know, we're going out the door and look what you just did to your diaper. Oh, and your entire outfit. Cool. Right?
And we're already 5 minutes.
Right. So that's the arrow prayer. Jesus, I am going to say bad things if you do not help me.
Yes.
So anyways, we can bring it all to him. I think that was sort of my bottom line on that. So
I really love that.
Yeah. So that's what I gained and what I'm going to... I always need to do better at that.
Mm-hmm.
In the moment, it is really hard to remember to talk to God.
Yes.
It's easier to say the words that should not be said.
Mm-hmm. Or just try to figure it out yourself. Like, I got myself into this mess. Let me figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Or it doesn't feel like you have time to pray when you're running out the door with the child with the issue.
Well, exactly.
I don't have time to pray with the clean up this mess
exactly.
and go.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank goodness for a multi-purpose brain. Women can think about two things at once because we need to.
We
need to be praying and, you know, also working. So how about you? What did you learn? What's your story about this?
Oh, this one hit deep. This has been It was just a wonderful reminder to be patient in affliction.
Huh.
This woman endured for 12 years with something, and she spent all her money and time and went to multiple doctors trying to find healing mm-hmm. in her own strength, and she was unable to.
That's true. It was in her own strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like this past year and a half has been so difficult, and I have tried so many different things, and I have had some healing, and I haven't had healing, and I've had some answers and not some answers, but so much of it has been me trying to, oh, I'll try this new thing. Oh, I'll try a little bit harder. I'll eat a little bit better. I'll try this supplement. Mm-hmm. And it was a couple weeks ago, Pastor Cody had preached about getting peace and surrendering and just surrendering this to God, kind of going to him and touching his robe, going, I can't fix this, God. I've tried everything. I'm willing to try everything, but it's on my own strength because maybe God isn't ready yet to take this affliction from me.
Huh.
There's something there.
Yes.
And I can't just pray it away. I can't hustle it away. So just remembering to be patient in this and that God is ultimately in so much control. And there was something he was teaching this woman too. And
yes.
I don't think it's always a result of sin.
No.
But we're such sinful creatures that even if I'm not particularly sinning blatantly, there's still something in me to be worked out. There's many somethings in me to be worked out. Let's be honest. So I can't not be refined by this trouble if I press into God and say, what are you teaching me in this? Maybe it's not a direct result of me sinning blatantly, but what is it that you want to teach
right,
me in this?
Right. If you've allowed it, there's a reason.
Yeah.
I remember with Meniere's disease, people praying for healing and healing not coming.
Yes.
And me praying for healing and healing not coming. And then especially when I got my second deafness, so that now I'm deaf ish in both ears, using the word receive. And what I would pray would be, and what I still pray is, Lord, I don't like what you've allowed, but I receive it.
Mm.
I receive what you're allowing, and I want to live well with what you've allowed. That really has helped me because you can buck against it incredibly.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're not going to try to do your best with it. I think he wants you to do that. But you also at some point have to say, I receive what you allowed.
Yeah.
And that's annoying because you're like, God, you could have not allowed it.
Right. It is annoying.
You know?
And it doesn't change what you do. Like you said, it doesn't change you stopping. I'm still doing exactly the same thing I was doing two mm-hmm. weeks ago because I still need to in order to stay upright. But my heart has changed. My mindset has changed.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just trusting in God through this more so than just mm-hmm. trying to like get through it,
mm-hmm.
get over it.
Because
mm-hmm. he keeps whispering to me like, just serve anyway, live anyway.
Yeah.
Even though it's not how I want to be living or serving, because I don't always show up how I want to. I don't present mm-hmm. as well because sometimes I physically cannot.
Right.
And being limited is frustrating. When you can't hear, it's frustrating
seem. Mm-hmm.
Just less than we want to put ourselves out there is like, oh no, I worked really hard at this and I'm doing well. So I don't love that aspect of this. So it's a lot of leaning on God and having courage to still step out amongst the crowd
mm-hmm.
and be awkward and cause trouble because I'm having a hard time and need help. And that's hard to do.
It is very hard to do. I really dislike having to say, could you say that again? And unfortunately, it's one of my most used phrases these days.
Yes.
And when I don't, I get myself in trouble sometimes because I think I've heard and I respond in really weird and strange ways. Because I haven't heard it all.
I just look at you going, wait, what did you think I said?
Yes, exactly. But people that know me catch on. They're like, you didn't hear me, did you? And I'm like, well, yes, no, I didn't. So, yeah. So I think the receiving is important. And then I think the other thing that's important is to remember that God has numbered our days, your mm-hmm. days and mine.
Yep.
We could both live to 100 and we could both die in 2 minutes from now, actually.
Yeah.
Hope not, because I'd like to finish the podcast. But point being, he holds us.
Yeah.
And he has purpose for every day.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we're relegated to a bed with mm-hmm. nothing left except the ability to pray, if he's keeping us alive. And even if he's keeping me alive, I'm imagining myself just a total mess at 99. Not for me, but because my daughters need to learn patience with me.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So we receive it.
Yeah.
We receive it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Paul in prison, Philippians, mm-hmm. he's like, oh, I'm so glad I'm in prison. I'm witnessing to the palace guards. This has worked out for great. And I'm
amazing.
Like, Paul, how do you do that?
Get there.
Yeah.
I know. I think changing the way we think about it is, I always try to figure out why. Like, oh, what is it that made this mm-hmm. happen? You know, instead of mm-hmm. trying to figure out, well, why did this poor woman have to go through this for 12 years? Like, what a terror. That would have been a pretty miserable life for her.
Yeah.
Instead of asking that, but like, what did God want to teach through that? Maybe not even to her, but to people around her.
Exactly.
We don't know. Yeah. He knows. Yeah. He's so sovereign.
He weaves together this beautiful tapestry, yep. like Corrie Ten Boom said,
yes.
and the backside is awful messy.
It is.
But when you look at the whole thing, you're like, oh, Lord, thank you for considering me for this.
Yes.
Because look at the good you did through it. Right? Mm. So
that's
beautiful.
So good.
So, all righty. Well, let me pray to finish us out. Father, I so thank you that Jesus stopped in the middle of something urgent to call someone daughter and heal her fully, like Nicole said. Lord, enable us to trust you like our woman with the issue of blood, to be resilient when it's been 10 years of waiting. Mm-hmm. And to receive what you allow for your great good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to today's episode, where we talked about one brave woman's story of desperate hope and courage. Let's all be inspired by her boldness as she sought the only one who could truly help her. If this podcast was a blessing to you, it would mean the world to us if you shared it or wrote a review. We get so excited when we hear from our listeners. Please email us with any prayer requests you may have, or to join our podcast partners newsletter. Email us at nicole@sweetsela.org. For more information on our ministry, check out our website, sweetsela.org. And please join us next time for episode 156, Loving the Least. Take care.